and I hope you all had elsewhere, if you didn't attend, a nice evening. So we are going back to work. First, just to remind you, we have a couple of items open. This regards, at the first place, of course, the different resolutions. Seven in total, and I remind you that we should have back tonight some new documents, some draftings, allowing us to have the discussion and probably a solution tomorrow. If any of the drafting groups or the chairs of the drafting groups wish just to give a brief state on the item, of course I will allow you to do so. Otherwise, I'm just expecting that you will inform the secretariat at the time so that the documents are available and we can then go into the discussion tomorrow during the day. And for all others, Friday will be the last day, so time is moving forward. And as I ask the other remaining item open, 7.1, if it would be possible to have some new information already today, maybe to discuss. So would like to ask if this is possible or if it would be better to refer maybe also tomorrow. So in this regard, may I ask the US?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, there will be discussions on that agenda item at lunch today, and I think our goal would be to pick that back up again later this afternoon, if that's okay.
Thank you, US. Japan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning to all. Could I report back to the results of the drafting group on the resolution on limited means? Could I?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Drafting group to review the draft resolution on limited means met yesterday evening. Participants included Australia, Brazil, Costa Rica, Japan, Mexico, Netherlands, the United States, and the EU. Australia suggested two amendments to the draft resolution in order to make the scope clearer, and all the participants unanimously agreed the proposed amendment. However, Mr. Chairman, I have to inform you with great regret that suddenly, out of blue, the representative of EU said that they had a fundamental objection to the entire draft, including the use of term governments of limited means. She expressed the view that the legal construct developed by the working group based on the draft guidelines prepared by the US to ensure that the provision of funds was consistent with Article 3.5 had many problems, including those related to governments determining expenses. She also insisted that rigorous rules based on the UN system were needed, but without alternative proposals. Chairman, due to such very negative interventions, unfortunately, I was obliged to suggest to adjourn the drafting group because you instructed me to work on the draft resolution developed by the working group in constructive manner. Drafting group, I believe, is not a place to raise these fundamental issues. I suggested that EU should express these views at the plenary and also asked her if EU had some draft proposed text, the drafting group could consider them. Mr. Chair, I was very much disappointed to the result of the drafting group yesterday, as I did not hear any objections nor negative comments at my working group, at the Finance and Administration Committee, nor at the plenary yesterday. I had believed and felt that we were all positive to cooperate for alleviating the difficult situation faced by the government of limited means. But very unfortunately, that was not the case. I might have had a mere illusion. Chairman, I apologize to you for the failure to complete my job tasked by you, and also apologize to all the working group members who sincerely participated in this important task with a strong faith to solve the problem. I am very, very sorry, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. Of course, it's always disappointing to hear that there was no way forward, but I would first like to give the floor now to the Netherlands.
Thank you, Chair. I speak on behalf of the European Union. We have some problems with the text as it is now, and therefore we said we need more time and to better look at it. We have some questions, serious questions, but we are prepared and willing to further discuss this, and we also are working on alternative texts to discuss with the other parties. Thank you.
Thank you, the Netherlands. Of course, I would like to keep open as long as possible a specific item, as we have only tomorrow and after tomorrow to maybe decide on. Could you indicate if you could be able to deliver some of this text today, during the day, so that there might be still a possibility to have a document presented tomorrow or to be discussed latest on Friday? Netherlands, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we think that we can have some text at lunchtime, and so we have time to discuss that. Thank you.
Thank you, Netherlands. Would it then be possible, I ask once more, Japan to reconsider and to try a last effort if there might be the possibility to include or at least first to discuss the points, so that would allow us to keep it a little bit longer open, this agenda item, before we take a definite decision. Japan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for the representative of Netherlands to suggest something which could make our tasks go forward. But I am afraid the EU representative yesterday clearly mentioned that they have fundamental objections on the draft resolution. So it's really subject to the proposed text, which might be slight change to the draft resolution, but which might be the big much amendment to the draft resolution, which on which we need some more time to digest. So I dearly appreciate the representative of EU to circulate the proposed text well before the lunchtime for the working group members to digest the contents, and also before entering into the substantial discussions on the revised draft resolution, I would like to know what is the fundamental objection, or what would the object proposal which EU has. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Japan. I see there is still some controversial view, and then I suggest that we'll give a couple of hours more to digest and to rethink, and then we have to decide how you would like to that we proceed. So thank you for Japan, thank you for the Netherlands, and I hope you can find a solution. Otherwise, of course, we will have to decide. And with this, I would like now to start with the next agenda item. That will be agenda item 8, socioeconomic implications on small type whaling. there is one document available on the website, it's IWC66/16, and I would now ask Japan to introduce the document before we go to the discussion. So Japan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning to all. I will speak to the document number IWC 66-16, document 16. And this is a discussion paper about the issue of small type coastal whaling. But the contents of this discussion paper actually covers much wider issue, or fundamental issue, I should say, about the International Whaling Commission. So some of the issues I will raise now also could be covered under agenda item 12, if I remember correctly, the future of or the IWC's in the future, the IWC in the future. Okay. So with that understanding, let me go through this document so that we will have a basis for discussion. Again, this is a paper for discussion, and I like to have a constructive discussion over this paper. At last meeting, IWC 65, that was held exactly in the same room here, we proposed a catch quota under Schedule 10E, in accordance with Schedule 10E, which is called moratorium, as a commercial whaling catch quota. And our catch quota is based on the result of a scientific committee's project for RMP, and it is based on that science. As usual, we heard many oppositions. Some of them is based on the legal interpretation or legal position as to Schedule 10E, which is again so-called moratorium, or some issues pertaining to the scientific aspects of our the proposal. And throughout the course of a discussion last time, we spent a long time, which I am very grateful, to try to have a common understanding or clear up the understanding of those important issues. And In our view, for example, the based opposition on Schedule 10E does not make legal sense, because 10E itself has a language, very clear language, of a comprehensive assessment of a scientific situation of a stock and consider a non-zero catch quota. So so-called moratorium language is actually a process for resumption of whaling for particular species or particular stock. It's not open for all unlimited whaling. There is misperception that we are asking total lifting of moratorium. That's not the case. We're just asking for a small quota based on science and for a particular species in particular water. That's it. However, as day goes by, it became clearer to me, and that was not surprising based on my experience in this organization since, well, my first time was in 1992. Because many of the positions held by a contracting parties of this organization is based on their principal position of against whaling in under any circumstances. As I said on Monday, Tuesday, under different agenda items, there are fundamental differences among the parties here about whales and whaling, which is a reality of this organization. And countries, including Japan, support a sustainable utilization of marine living resources, including whales, based on science and based on international law. And other countries are against whaling under any circumstances, as I quoted from Scientific Committee report yesterday. So the even if science and international law has some basis for limited whaling, they will oppose. The purpose of a discussion last time, in my mind, is to make this real issue clearer, not clouded by other smaller issues. Unless we address this issue, we will have no way out. Following the 65th annual meeting, Japan submitted a list of questions and sent out this question to all contracting governments, and also we encouraged the open and transparent discussion about this issue on the website of International Whaling Commission. Just to confirm my understanding of our positions. And I'd like to thank at this opportunity to the countries who have responded to the questionnaire or the inquiry on the website or through diplomatic channels. I also thank some of the countries responded in their straight and frank manner of saying that they are against commercial whaling under any circumstances. That's their position, I do understand. And now, in my mind, it is very clear that the issue of small type coastal whaling is not that of international law or interpretation of international law or even science. What can we do from there? And that's the issue, or that's the point we have raised in our discussion paper. We have to, this organization, have to talk about fundamental issue. We know that, that those fundamental positions I just described several times will not change over time, overnight, including ours. But that's not exceptional in many other international organizations, but there are always ways for all of us to cooperate or to make this organization of some merit to all the parties, balanced outcome or balanced achievement, through balanced achievement of this organization's many projects. Unfortunately, observing the discussion in this organization, oftentimes that basic differences or fundamental differences are even preventing the potential area of a cooperation to be realized or to be achieved, which is very unfortunate. And for example, yesterday we had discussion about the South Atlantic Sanctuary. And as I said, we do support addressing the issue like climate change or ocean pollution, ship strikes, or even we can understand the local regional aspirations about the promotion of whale watching. However, because the proposal touched upon the basic fundamental position issue, we had no choice but to oppose. It's same for our proposal for small type coastal whaling. Because of a basic position against any commercial whaling under any circumstances, no discussion or no scientific discussion or no legal discussion would change the position of countries currently opposing our proposal. The structure of the discussion is exactly the same. The difference of the basic positions are actually haunting this organization, making this organization very difficult to make a positive progress in the potential mutually beneficial projects. Do we like to continue this form of meeting or this form of a discussion, meeting after meeting, in the future? We spend already enough time, money, resources for this one, just repeating the same discussion, unfortunately. And it's not uncommon that the parties or groups in one organization has a very different positions, but there should be a way that these groups can have some benefit from that organization, irrespective of their positions. But frankly speaking, in my view, this organization are not in that situation, I should say, I would like to say, yet. Or is it fundamentally or inherently impossible for this organization to achieve balanced or equal benefit to all? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves, and if we are to keep this organization as a functional organization, we have to come up with some approach or project or idea to try to change it. This organization failed in the past several attempts to establish a compromise between different parties. Those who have been in this organization long enough might remember so-called Irish proposal, 1997. We spent more than 40 meetings to talk about RMS, which collapsed eventually. We had the future of IWC project under the leadership of then chair, Bill Hogarth from the United States, and that was also collapsed. And the compromise proposal submitted under the name of a chair and vice chair of that time, Christian Makiela, also was opposed on the instant that was proposed to this meeting. Why this is happening, and are there any ways for us to do something different? These are questions I believe we should discuss in this organization. And our discussion paper is asking the members of this organization to look at this fundamental issue of this organization closely, seriously, rather than repeating the same questions or repeating the same discussions, repeating the same statement year after year. For some people, status quo might be comfortable, but we do not accept status quo in this organization. We all know that international policies and politics are oftentimes influenced by public opinion, perceptions, sometimes misinformation, and that's a reality. It's not just about whales and whaling. However, my belief is international governmental organization like IWC has a duty, strong obligation to handle those difficult issues through law and science. That's why we have international governmental organizations. We know perceptions, we know public relations are public opinions, but once international government organization just dictated by public opinion only, are there any reason for that IGO to exist? Do we need such an IGO if they cannot bridge the differences through international law and science? I believe now you can see why I said at the beginning that this issue also covers the agenda item 12, the IWC in the future. My delegation is determined that we like to discuss these fundamental issues now. I like to encourage the rest of this organization to look at the real issue. I'm not asking other countries to change their basic positions. I'm not asking those against whaling to eat whale meat. Let's talk about the ways how this intergovernmental organization can think about the way to create a situation that benefit all. It's not like one side is bad and the other side is good. This is not dichotomy or black and white situation. We have to look at this face to face. And I would appreciate your positive response or constructive discussion, or even a discussion against this way will be welcome. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Japan. I would like now to open the floor for discussion, and as requested by Japan, to give some open statements, so please. I see Iceland. Please, Iceland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to sincerely thank Japan for bringing this core fundamental subject up for the Commission to consider. I think this paper is well balanced and tells the story as it is. We have a stalemate in this organization, which was originally built to manage whaling. Now this organization is something totally different. We have had this situation for 30 years, and nothing new is in the cards that tells us this will change in the next 30 years. I have no solution while this organization is held hostage, but I want to commend Japan for bringing this up in a clear and transparent manner. This questionnaire exposes the extreme polarization of this organization and poses the question whether there is any point in continuing this work. Iceland is though willing to take part in finding solutions, but that can't be a one-way street. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Iceland. Now the Russian Federation and then the Netherlands. Russian Federation, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also had a chance to work for quite a long time in this commission.
Сессиях, но и на других форумах, таких как CETES и других конвенциях.
I attended not only IWC sessions, but I also participated in some other conventions like CETES, CITES.
IWC одна из самых недружественных конвенций в отношении прав человека и малочисленных народов мира.
And IWC is one of the most unfriendly conventions in relation to the human rights issues and in relation to the rights of indigenous peoples.
Мы сейчас справляем 70-летний юбилей конвенции.
Right now, we celebrate the 70th anniversary of the convention.
Но этот год еще и юбилейный для Японии. Они 30 лет просят решить вопрос по смолтайпорингу.
But this year also is a remarkable, is a landmark for Japan because they have been asking for a small type coastal whaling quota for 30 years.
Нужно помнить, наверное, всем, что эти четыре поселка в Японии, история промысла насчитывает больше 5000 лет.
I think that we all have to remember that those four communities in Japan that have been asking for quota, they have a 5,000-year history of whaling.
Только последние годы им не разрешают добывать китов, исходя из их традиционных нужд.
And only for the last year they have been forbidden from whaling on the basis of the whale population.
Господин председатель, мне кажется, что это уникальная коллизия.
Mr. Chairman, I think that this is a unique collision.
Если мы вспомним сессию в Анкоридже, где принимали дорожную карту по IW Future.
If you remember the session in Anchorage where we adopted the roadmap IWC in the future.
Договорились, что чтобы будущее у нашей комиссии было, мы будем принимать решения пакетом или пакетами.
And we all agreed that to ensure the future for our organization, we will take decisions by packages.
Эта договоренность была разрушена.
And this agreement was destroyed.
Из пакета вынули один вопрос по заповедникам, а остальные вопросы продолжают блокировать.
And one issue concerning the sanctuaries was removed from the package, and the rest of the issues in the package were destroyed.
Я не согласен с Японией, что нужна ли нам такая организация. Конечно, нужна.
And I have to disagree with Japan as to the necessity of this organization. Of course, we need this organization.
Но, господин председатель, я призываю страны более лояльно относиться к нуждам малочисленных народов и к нуждам традиций.
But Mr. Chairman, I ask the countries to be more loyal toward the needs of indigenous peoples and toward their traditions.
Это касается не только четырех поселков Японии, Это касается отношения в нашей комиссии к таким странам, как Исландия и Норвегия.
And it concerns not only those four communities in Japan, but also such countries as Iceland and Norway.
Наша задача не только сохранять биоразнообразие, но и сохранять разнообразие культур, традиций.
Our task is not only to conserve the biodiversity, but also to conserve culture and traditions.
Я не видел, чтобы все члены делегации ходили в Макдональдс и ели только бургеры.
And I haven't seen all members of the delegations going only to McDonald's and eating only burgers.
Все хотят попробовать национальную еду, национальное вино.
Everyone wants to try to eat national food and national wine, drink national wine.
Господин председатель, уважаемые члены делегации, прошу очень внимательно отнести к заявлению Японии. Это очень серьезно.
Mr. Chairman and distinguished members of the delegations, I ask you to take a closer look at what the delegation of Japan has said. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Russian Federation. Now, Netherlands next, please.
Thank you, Chair. The Netherlands is speaking on behalf of the EU Member States Party to the ICRW, and we acknowledge the efforts of the government of Japan to further engage with parties to the International Whaling Commission on the issue of small type coastal whaling since the last IWC meeting. We take note of its discussion paper aimed at sharing with the Commission at large the main thrust of the responses provided by a few contracting governments, including the EU Member States Party to the Convention, to the questionnaire on small type coastal whaling circulated earlier. As we have stated in our answer, the EU and its member states are strongly committed to the protection of whales. Our objective remains to ensure an effective international regulatory framework for the conservation and management of whales, guaranteeing a significant improvement in the conservation status of whales in the long run and bringing all whaling operations under IWC control. We have considered the questionnaire against three types of whaling operations identified under the International Convention for the Regulation of Whaling and its schedule, noting that the government of Japan considers that their proposal does not introduce a new category of whaling, but is intended to establish a catch limit for commercial whaling. In consideration of this, we can only reiterate our strong support for the maintenance of the global moratorium on commercial whaling and our serious concerns about the impact of small type coastal whaling on whales, taking into account the commercial aspects. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, the Netherlands. I have on my list Norway, Guinea, Denmark, Australia, Antigua, Barbuda, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, St. Lucia, New Zealand and NGOs. So I give now the floor to Norway.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Japan for their intervention. We would like to associate ourselves with the description Japan has given of the situation in this organization, and likewise associate ourselves with the previous speakers in support of those views. We have a very unfortunate situation in this organization where a large proportion of our members show clear disrespect for our convention. The sad thing about that is, of course, that we are not able to discuss real issues, not only pertaining to whaling, but also other relevant issues that need to be dealt with. This is extremely unfortunate, and we are very sorry about this, and we would like to, in every way, contribute to an atmosphere and discussions that would pave the way for changes to this situation. But like the previous speakers, we see this as a very troublesome, difficult way to walk down. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Norway. And before I forgot, Monaco after St. Lucia and before New Zealand, I will give the floor to Monaco then. Sorry, this time it wasn't the technique, it was me. But now next on the list is Guinea, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Nous remercions l'exposé qui a été fait par le représentant du Japon. Et nous qui sommes dans cette commission depuis un certain nombre de temps, et nous vivons ce constat. Notre organisation vit des blocages entretenus qui nous ont amenés vers une forte polarisation. Ce qui fait que cette organisation aujourd'hui est sous forte influence et qui l'amène petit à petit à s'éloigner de ses objectifs de base. Les conclusions du comité scientifique sont reléguées au second plan quand elles ne sont pas conformes aux désirs de certains. Il vous souviendra, Monsieur le Président, que des tentatives de solutions ont été proposées par des personnes ressources de renommée internationale que cette organisation avait recrutées, mais leurs propositions de solutions ont été remises en cause par des groupes de pression. Et j'invite tout le monde à prendre conscience dans cette salle que les décisions que nous prenons peuvent avoir des incidences sur la vie des millions de personnes. Hier, nous avons écouté avec grande attention le soutien accordé des quotas aux populations aborigènes, soutien que nous saluons. Et pour la même raison, nous soutenons cette requête du Japon pour avoir des petits quotas dans les eaux japonaises pour des villages japonais qui ont cette tradition millénaire de chasser les baleines. Je vous remercie.
Thank you, Guinea. And now, I think Denmark on behalf of Greenland. Denmark, please. Yeah, just a moment. Micro should be ready soon. So, Denmark.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I wish to align myself with the statement made by the Netherlands on behalf of the EU, speaking to represent the interests of Greenland and the Faroe Islands that are not bound by the EU treaty and that has fundamental interests in this organization. We wish to welcome the intervention by Japan and share the general concerns expressed. We wish to underline the importance of the IWC remaining relevant to all its parts and true to its dual mandate. We have, over the past years, experienced tremendous difficulties, and we're trying to solve those and look to the future. And we are committed to the International Convention on the Regulation and Whaling, and we look forward to this important dialogue and discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Denmark, on behalf of Greenland and Faroe. And now I see Australia next on the list, please.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, thanks to Japan, both for their paper and for their intervention. Australia was one of the countries that responded to Japan and made clear our position of our opposition to commercial whaling and the lifting of the moratorium. In Japan's introduction, they established a narrative of the current state of the International Whaling Commission, and that view's been supported by quite a number of other parties. But there is another narrative that we believe is also valid. During this meeting, we've heard many times that we're celebrating the 70th anniversary of the convention. And we reflect that the world of 1946 is simply unrecognisable from today. Our understanding of our natural world through science has developed at a rate none of us would have predicted. Our laws, our international governance arrangements, our way of lives have all largely changed and developed at a pace that has been hard for us to keep up with. Back in 1946, the only manner in which we interacted with whales was to hunt and kill them. Today, whales are still hunted by some people, and this, importantly, is supported by this organisation in the form of Aboriginal subsistence whaling. But whales are also valued in their own right. People pay for the privilege of watching them, and they're regarded as key components of healthy ecosystems. So the IWC has had to evolve to keep pace with these changes. It's moved through phases from, as I said, an entire focus on regulating whale hunting to an urgent need to protect those same whales from unsustainable whaling practices. It now focuses on the many non-whaling threats facing whales, from bycatch and entanglement to ocean noise, disease, and perhaps most pressing of all, climate change. It's important to reflect that today, the notion of commercial whaling, and indeed the argument that it is still necessary to kill whales for science, is anathema to many of the world's population. Rapid and challenging changes such as these clearly put pressure on multilateral international treaty bodies, and the IWC is no exception. There are parties here who wish to see a resumption of commercial whaling, a move that would require the lifting of the moratorium and potentially the removal of sanctuaries. Other parties press for whale conservation and a focus on managing the many looming threats that humans pose to whales. It is the right of each party to hold and represent their views, just as it is a requirement for the IWC's governance and decision-making rules to enable decisions to be made that represent the relative balance of these disparate views. Australia acknowledges that it is undoubtedly frustrating for parties to be thwarted in achieving their own desired outcomes. But so long as the process allows for the expression of proposals, for proper debate, and for fair and transparent rules of decision, then the organisation is functioning well. Indeed, in Australia's view, the IWC can claim to be functioning well in the face of its many challenges. It's not perfect, but we do believe it's on an improving trajectory. The IWC still manages progress on critically important issues, such as the management and support of Aboriginal subsistence whaling, through to developing and implementing conservation management plans. Our scientific committee is a global leader in cetacean science, and our conservation committee is rapidly evolving to be the equivalent in global conservation of cetaceans. We agree with Japan that science and international law are a fundamental basis for our considerations. We also believe we have much to be proud of in the manner that we have navigated this organisation from a time just a few decades ago when many whale populations were in such parlous state. The IWC, in Australia's view, is not dysfunctional. It has many challenges, and the desires of all parties will not be met in our future trajectory. But the desires of many, if not most of the parties, will be met. And this is a reflection of a modern multilateral treaty body that continues to evolve with changing times and pressure. Australia remains keen to engage in discussions on how best to continue and improve the IWC and meet the needs and desires of its parties. This can't be achieved in a discussion that seeks to view the convention through the prism of the 1940s and can only be achieved in a forward-looking manner that aligns the IWC with other contemporary and effective treaty bodies, a body that respects the rights of Indigenous hunters on the one hand, while addressing issues such as climate change on the other. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Australia. I have on the list Antigua Barbuda, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, St. Lucia, Monaco, New Zealand, the US, and NGOs. So Antigua and Barbuda now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Antigua and Barbuda, welcome and congratulate Japan for bringing this issue to us today. This is an issue that of particular concern to vulnerable developing countries that view international governmental organizations as a forum to advance international principles of cooperation within the general rules of respect for the Committee of Nations. Unfortunately, Mr. Chair, our organization does not seem to embrace these fundamental undertakings. As an IGO, we tend not to value the need for consensus in decision making, especially on fundamental issues that will affect all members. The desire for consensus in our organization is remarkably absent, and most major decisions are concluded by unfortunate divisive voting. The required need for consensus is now firmly replaced by the will of a small majority of nations that have replaced the democratic norms of international organizations with a dictatorial take it or leave it posturing. This cannot be right, Mr. Chair. And what compounds this issue is the constant attempt by that small majority to prevent the participation in this organization of developing countries by denying developing countries their right to participate. This right has been denied, Mr. Chair, by the refusal of some developed countries here to take on their responsibility to ensure that those of us who are financially challenged, not because of our own doing, but because of the construct of the international community, they refuse to undertake their responsibility by making it possible for us to join the IWC through the equalization of fees to become members, which does not give in many organizations. Yesterday we noticed, Mr. Chair, that the issue of helping countries that are financially challenged is challenged by those countries who have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure equal participation in IGOs of all independent nations. This situation cannot advance the work of this organization. As coastal developing countries, we have a right to be heard. We have a right to participate. Developed countries have an obligation to allow us to exercise this right. Denying us of that right is a denial of our human rights. Denying us of that right is in contempt of international norms. This cannot continue, Mr. Chair. We're seeing an organization that was designed to address the issues of management and conservation of a particular resource being hijacked by the interests of a few. We need to come back into middle ground. We need to respect the interests of all, not the interests of a few. It's been over 30 years, Mr. Chair, that this organization have been deliberating on the issue of the moratorium, the issue of resumption of commercial whaling and allowing some form of interim measure for 4 coastal communities in Japan. And I would like to say that the attitude of this organization has cast us right back into the colonial era of the global community, which we all should wish to forget. I do not understand why we cannot coexist. I do not understand why we cannot have whale watching and still have at the same time the consumptive use of whales. We are not in an era where might is right. We are not in an era where the will of a few should be imposed on many. The time has come, Mr. Chair, for this organization, if it wants to be accepted within the framework of civilized nations, that we desist from taking the type of draconian, selfish decisions that we're doing now. I want to appeal to the European community especially to show leadership in the approach and stop denying developing countries their rights with regards to us being able to have equity in this organization. We want to be able to come to our meetings with the assistance of the European Union and other developed countries. When colonialism was premier, foremost, the order of the day, developing countries were exploited. Our resources were taken from us. And that is why we're in the state that we are now. And we're asking those who took those resources to assist us to be able to develop and mature into nations and develop and mature as people. We are equal at this table. The principles of the United Nations and its charter provide for that. Let us use today as the day when we will go forward holding hands as brothers and sisters with one goal: to conserve, to manage, and to have a principle of multiple utilization of the resource which this organization have been given the mandate to manage. I am making this clarion call to this organization. We have to turn that corner. If we cannot turn that corner, Mr. Chair, developing countries are prepared to challenge the decisions of this organization in several courts of arbitration, because we will not continue to sit down and see our rights being eroded. We know the rules. We have trained people in our communities that can take these cases wherever we want. And this is a notice we're sending that if this thing is not changed and changed quickly, we will be prepared to arbitrate this matter outside of the confines of this convention. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Antigua and Barbuda. I have on the list St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Monaco, New Zealand, the US, Argentina, and two NGOs. And then I would like to draw a line. So next, just Brazil popping up, but then I really have to close the discussion. It's important to get as many views as possible. Therefore, I would like to have two NGOs at the end also to express their